Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to The Chaperous Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest today is a woman with a fascinating story that we can all relate to and learn from, and her name is Alejandra Brady. Hello, Alejandra. I'm so pleased to have you on our show. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Vivian. It's nice to chat again.
Exactly. And Alejandra, you have written a book with a carefully chosen title, and I didn't want to give the game away because I would love for you to say the title in your own voice.
Sure. The name of my book is called I Just Can't Make This Shit Up.
I love it. I have to admit that I love this title because I find myself saying these words to myself on a daily basis.
Right? I think we all do. I have so many people that text me and give me a story that just happened to them, and then they end it with that quote, you know? Now it's a quote.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Because we can't. We just can't make up what happens. And sometimes because it's so good. Not always
right.
Because it's so bad, right?
Right, right. There's both, right? There's a little bit of everything. But yes, this is life.
This is life. And so can you tell us more about yourself? Give us some information about your background and how you came to this, just a little bit of everything.
Of course. Well, my name is Alejandra Brady, and I am an author who lives in Tampa, Florida. So I grew up, and it's a part of the story. I was adopted as an infant, and I grew up on the border with Mexico in Laredo, Texas. And then I went off to college in Indiana. I went to Notre Dame, and we are about to be in the national championship. So by the time this airs, we are either national championships or we're not, because we're in the finals. But the last time that we had that was when I was a senior there, so it's been a minute. And I've lived here in Florida with my husband of almost 35 years now. We have 4 rescue dogs and a wonderful son who's turning 30. And I was an interior designer for many, many years until I kind of had my spiritual awakening. And it was during the journey of my spiritual awakening that I was prompted to write this book during a meditation. So that's why this book exists.
Can you tell us more about your spiritual awakening? Is there anything there that's like of importance to us, perhaps?
I think that it would resonate. And I feel that it does resonate with a lot of people. For me, it was a little later in life. I was 50 when it started, and I'm now 57. And out of the blue, I had to have cervical fusion, which was very unexpected. I'd just been recovering from lower lumbar fusion, which was expected at some point in time. I had scoliosis as a child. So that was not completely out of the blue, but I had just gained my footing and was feeling strong and healthy when I got hit with the fact that I needed cervical fusion. And it was a big shock. And I was in the middle of working on a project for a wonderful client of mine, and she was hiring a feng shui master to come to her house to kind of look things over, and she wanted me there so that I could implement them through the design point of view that I have. And then she said, you know, if you allow her to do a session at your house, you know, a consultation, she won't charge either one of us travel time. And of course, something inside me said yes. And as we all know, when the students are ready, the teachers appear, right? That is a saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't know much about feng shui, if anything, but something inside me said yes, I need to do this. And within 10 minutes of the feng shui practitioner being here, she said that I would be doing this. And I remember laughing and going, no, 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 not interested. You know, just tell me what I need to do to get ready for my surgery. So she gave me all the information that I needed. I implemented it. I had my surgery, and my recovery was so seamless, and the energy in our house started to feel so different just from doing one room. All I had the bandwidth to do before my surgery was our master bedroom, because that's where I would be spending the most time recovering, even though, you know, she gave me ideas for the entire home. And because of that, it prompted me to be more curious about other modalities, and so suddenly I wanted to be finding things out about sound baths and spiritual healing and meditation. And so I started kind of doing some research and diving into all these. And then I decided I was going to learn how to meditate properly. So during one of my first meditations, I was sincerely asking, you know, what is my purpose at this point in time? I'm 50. I'm recovering from cervical fusion. I put my business on hold. Our son has graduated from college and is living his best life. We're truly empty nesters. And I got told I was going to write a book. And just like I told her no, I said no, no, no thank you, no interest in that. And, you know, here we are several years later with a book that became a bestseller and has won several awards, and I'm now a feng shui practitioner that does consultations all over the world. So, you know. It's amazing, isn't it? It kidnaps you.
That's what happened to me with the crystals. I felt like I'd been kidnapped by crystals. It wasn't anything I chose.
Right? I love crystals, too. I am certified in crystal healing as well. And I did it just so that I would know how to place crystals in my clients' homes. I don't practice it, you know, by doing crystal sessions on anyone, but I wanted that knowledge.
Right. Crystals are big. Yeah.
You go down that rabbit hole.
Absolutely, but now, so you're a feng shui practitioner as well as an author, but then you have another angle on the feng shui, don't you? You know something about, because it was a new one when you told me about this biophilic design.
Oh, yes, I'm certified in biophilic design, yes. The rabbit hole continues to get deeper, right? I use them all as tools in my toolbox, you know, so when I go into a space, if I cannot address the issue that the client is having through one modality, I can address it through a different one, and that is why I wanted the knowledge of crystal healing. That is why I wanted the feng shui. I'm still doing interior design, so it's all combined together, and now my newest modality that I'm certified in is biophilic design.
Feng shui is more energetic,
And, you know, you're using your intuition. Biophilic is the exact opposite of that. It is based 100% in science. There are studies after studies after studies that show that we need to interact with nature in one form or another in order to thrive, in order to have less depression, disease, anxiety, disorders, all those things. And so biophilic design allows me and has trained me, you know, in a way so that if I cannot address one thing, if let's just say you can't have a live plant in whatever the space is because either we have a friend who's waiting on a double lung transplant, well, he can't have live plants in his space because of the, you know, bioorganisms in them. But I can do a nature scene on a piece of artwork or in the wallpaper or in the furnishings. And I can bring nature into him in an indirect way. So that's the way that biophilic designed.
I even noticed for myself, because this is really true to my heart. I just recently realized that I need a daily dose of beauty. And when it's gray and cold and wintry outside, I can watch something on the TV. It doesn't have to be that I'm actually out in nature. I need to just be relating to nature. I can look at photographs, and I can look at my own photographs from trips, and I'm getting myself to do that because it really, really seems to help.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to approach it. Yes, putting out photos of when you are in nature, when it is sunny, when it is beautiful. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if you've heard of them yet, we have frame TVs. They can hold artwork when the television is off, and you can download artwork. So that's another way you could do it. You could be downloading artwork of either all your photos when you were out in nature or just beautiful nature scenes at different times of the year, and it can be on a rotating basis. You can have it still. So that's another way that I bring it into a room if a person can't be outside for
whatever. And it brings in movement into the room as well, is what I've noticed, because we just get one of those frames that gets those photos and rotates them. And we're seeing the photos from our trips, and we're just going, oh, remember that? And there's a hormonal release. There's just no question. I can tell. There's a physiological response. We're remembering when we had a great time, and it is helping us. And
absolutely,
we're stuck at home. And I mean, we just got 2 foot of snow. It's unprecedented. I've never
experienced that. Where are
you? In Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in Florida, and it's 39 degrees here.
That's
cold
for you.
Which is very, very cold for us.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I wonder. This is so amazing. Alejandra, can we go back? Can you tell us a bit about how you discovered that you had these, I'm going to call them psychic gifts. Can you tell us something about that part?
Of course. So as I kept diving down the rabbit hole, I started feeling a need to understand what these things were that were happening to me. Like, why did I hear this voice while I was in meditation very specifically telling me I was going to write a book? You know, why was I having all these different experiences? And so I started looking for teachers to work with. And as I started working with the different teachers, they were able to help me put words to what was happening to me, because I did not have the vocabulary at that time to understand what some of my experiences were. They were the ones that helped me understand that I was clairvoyant, that I was clairaudient. Clairvoyance is when you can see things, either people that have passed or, you know, basically that's what I can do. I've been able to do that since I was a child, and I didn't know that other people couldn't do it until I started working with teachers. And I'm just like, oh, you mean everyone can't see people who have died? Like, I just honestly didn't realize.
How old were you?
How old? 50.
No, but how old were you? You were 50 before you found out that other people don't see dead people?
Yes. I just never talked about it because I just assumed that when other people lost loved ones, that they were able to see them the way I was able to see them when they passed. It didn't occur to me that it wasn't, so I just didn't talk about it. And I had an experience when I was 16, which is the very first one that I can remember. It's a sad situation. My boyfriend at the time, we were in high school, died in an accident overnight. And this is 1984, so this is pre-cell phones, phones in our room and TVs in our room and all of that. We were not allowed any of that. So there was no way for me to have gotten this information. But he came to me. He was in my bedroom that night and said goodbye. So I got up, and it was a Monday morning, and I walked into my parents' room, and my mom was on the phone, and it was very early. It was before school, and she was talking in Spanish because it is my first language. And her eyes were all red. You could tell she'd been crying. And I just looked at her and I said, I don't want to go to school. And she just looked at me and she goes, why? In Spanish. And I just said, because. And I said his name and I said, he died last night. And she just looked at me. And I said, he did, didn't he? And that was the information she was receiving on the phone at that point in time.
Wow.
And so we sat down on the edge of the bed when she hung up and she told me what had happened. She explained the accident. But she never asked me, to the best of my recollection, like how I knew. So that's part of, I think, why I just never thought about it. I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess everyone how did you know this? What happened? Why are you telling, you know? That was never part of the conversation.
So it was just natural. She just absorbed the fact that you already knew somehow. And she never questioned you about that. So you never questioned it yourself. You just assumed everyone can do this.
Or she was in too much shock, you know, from the news, or she could do it herself. I don't know. It was never a conversation. And, you know, she passed when I was 38, so it was nothing we were able to talk about once my spiritual journey started. But she did show up at the foot of my bed for 5 nights in a row after she passed.
But couldn't you ask her now? Why?
I suppose I could, but I don't know. I don't really question it.
It's not nearly relevant, is it? It's kind of moot at this point. Yeah. No, not really.
I have different types of communication with her now. She has asked through a healer to come to me in through music. So almost every single morning I wake up with a different song in my head right when I wake up, and I'll either hear just a few lyrics or a tune or something, and so I know she's around. And then as I was writing the book, I was just going to number the chapters, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I hadn't really thought too far into that. And during the same session with the healer, she said, your mom wants to give you all the song titles, all the chapter titles for the books. They're going to be song titles. I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, how am I going to know how to do that? And I promise you, as I was writing each chapter, I'd suddenly hear, because I am, my strongest gift is my clairaudience, so I hear. I would just start hearing lyrics, and I'd have to scribble them down. Sometimes I knew exactly what the song was. Other times I had no clue. So I'd have to go look it up and see. And, of course, the title made perfect sense to whatever it is that I was writing about at that moment in time. So thanks to my mom, we have all the chapter titles for the book.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. I know my son, who's passed, he helped me with the drawings for my book, and it was an extraordinary experience when that happened. But let's not talk about me. I want to know what you want for your readers who read your book.
Well, first of all, I think that's beautiful about your son, and I just think it makes when people pass a little bit easier. You know, it doesn't take away from the pain of seeing them day to day. And I have no concept of losing a child. I mean, a parent is the right way it happens, you know, usually. So I'm sorry about that. But I do love that you can still maintain some connection, which is like what I feel with my mom and dad, too. You know, there's some connection there. So they're gone, but they're not gone.
Yes.
And I love that. So that's part of the message for the book, too, right? People can relate to grief through it, in that those that we love are still around and still around us and want to be. And the more that we are open to it and allow them to be around, the more they will make their presence known.
Exactly. This is exactly
but it's,
true.
You know, yes. But it's not a book about grief, but I do think that is a very big part of it, because I do talk about, you know, my parents passing and how much that affected me and all of it that, you know, everything that goes with it. The book is mainly for people who are beginning their spiritual journey and who may feel, you know, we've been talking about hearing voices, seeing dead people as if it was just any other day, right? But for a lot of
people, it is for us,
you know, but for a lot of people, myself included, when it started happening, I started questioning my own sanity. You know, am I crazy? Is this really happening? Do I need a doctor? Do I need some medication? Do I need help? What is going on? Because when you first start spiritually awakening, the other side gets very, very excited that you are able to connect with them. And so it comes in massive waves, to the point where I wasn't sleeping, because they were keeping me up all night, and there were messages for other people, and, you know, it was just a party in our room. So I had to learn to, first of all, say yes, because we do have free will. You can say no if you don't want to your spiritual gifts, and I do know some people who have said that. I said yes. I said only in everyone's highest and greatest good. I will only work in the light. I will never work in the shadow or darkness. I am a light worker, so everything has to be only and of the light at all times for me to function and to say yes to any spiritual gift. And then, you know, you have to learn how to protect yourself and set up boundaries and acknowledge that your journey is going to include adding new people, losing some people who just don't like this version of you. They prefer the unhealed version. They prefer the version that perhaps they could manipulate or overstep with. And when you create these boundaries and you create this light around you, it takes some people back a bit, and, you know, you may have to choose to let them go. They're not part of your journey anymore. So all of that's in the book, the way that it's unfolded for me, and my hope is that it helps others who are going through similar journeys feel not so alone.
Wonderful. Can you tell everyone where to get hold of your book and also about your feng shui cards and where to get hold of them and your website?
Sure. You can get my book anywhere you get books. It's on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. The same for the card deck. That is on Amazon. You can always come to my website as well, which is AlejandraBrady.com. And you can get my book there, the card deck there. That's also where you can book one-on-one consultations. And I do those virtually all over the world. And if you're in the, you know, Florida area, I love to do them in person if we're able to do that. And anything else, that's where you can link to my Instagram, which I have so much information on my Instagram just for free. You know, I like to share what I do, and I want to help people create balanced and harmonious spaces for themselves and their loved ones.
Alejandra, can you just spell your name for everyone, please, so that they can easily find your website?
Absolutely. It's Alejandra, so A-L-E-J-A-N-D-R-A, Brady, B as in boy, R-A-D-Y.com.
AlejandraBrady.com, and it's like Alexandra, but with a J instead of an X. Is that right?
You got it. In Spanish.
Okay, that's pretty
Thank
fantastic.
You.
And the feng shui deck, can you just tell us briefly about that?
Sure. That also came from another download. So I didn't fight it this time the way I fought the book, the way I fought becoming a practitioner. And I downloaded it in 3 weeks, and it's a very practical guide of things you can do if you're not ready to work with me, or you just want to do it on your own. 77 different cards. You can use them any way you want. And by the time you do it, your entire house will have been feng shuied.
How wonderful. Well, thank you, Alejandra. I've got a whole lot more questions, but we're going to take a break now. And when we come back, our guest, Alejandra Brady, is going to tell us more about her spiritual journey, including tips for us as we navigate our own journeys. So please join us again after the break.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
and welcome back to the Shapira Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Today we are talking to Alejandra Brady, author and feng shui expert, who is sharing her story and insights with us. Thank you so much, Alejandra. Shall we continue?
Of course.
Okay. I wondered, Alejandra, I wonder whether you could share with us some of your weaknesses and how you have handled them.
Oh, goodness. I am a Virgo, which means I am a perfectionist.
Ooh.
So, it is hard for me to let go of things, especially if I feel that they are not exactly the way that I want them to be and exactly the way that I want them to turn out. And that is something that I have very much been working on throughout my life, let alone my spiritual journey, right? Because healing is anything but linear. You go up, you go down, you go backwards and sideways and every other way. And I just worked with somebody last month, and it's funny because my biological mother came back up again, and this is an issue that I go in depth into in the book. But I'm like, I thought I cleared that stuff like 5 years ago. Like, why are we still working with this? They're like, well, there's another layer. There's some more to dig deeper.
So many layers.
Yes. So many layers to everything.
So
yes. Every time I think I'm done with something and I can, you know, I love checking off boxes, but I think I can check the box off, it usually rears its head around. So that's probably my biggest one. But it also, I will say this, it also makes me really good at what I do because I'm super detail-oriented. So I'm like, I can't really go get help with this till I don't want to work anymore. it's a constant joke here at my house.
Well, when details are good, when it comes to doing the details and finishing a project, but they're not good if they're tripping you up all the time and actually preventing you from being successful with the big picture. I mean, perfectionism is a double-edged sword, isn't it?
100%. 100%. Yeah. And, you know, get that analysis paralysis. It can be done so many different ways. And then you get afraid. And it's funny because this is what I talk to my clients all the time about, right? Why they call me into their house many, many times. And, you know, I find myself sometimes falling into that trap as well. So always working on that.
Whew. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we could have a long conversation about perfectionism. Just that I get accused of being a perfectionist, and I really am not. And I just say, no, I perfected perfectionism. I'm an efficiencyist. Because perfectionism wastes too much time. So it's imperfect to me.
Yes. I've perfected not being a perfectionist, right? It just doesn't work.
You come up with the word efficiency. All right. So you mentioned that you were adopted, and you now mentioned your biological parents. Is there any story there that's helpful for the listeners?
Oh, my goodness. I really go in depth into this in the book, and I had to think about whether or not I was going to do that because the book is not meant to villainize or victimize anybody. It's just my story and how it happened for me. I would say the biggest lesson that I took away, they found me. So I'll preface it by saying they found me when I was 40.
Oh.
I wasn't looking. So my biological mother's side found me when I was 40. My biological father's side found me when I was 50. And the biggest lesson I think I learned from all that is that I went into it very eager, especially since my parents had just passed away 2 years before. And I went in with my heart open and my eyes closed. And I think it's just important for people to understand that just because you share DNA with people, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily family. I think that if you find yourself in this situation, whether you're looking for biological parents or, as in my case, they found me when I wasn't looking, take your time, do your research, don't jump into anything until you really feel ready and really get to know these people. I mean, they're truly strangers, except that you share, you know, some DNA. And so what was very interesting to me is my biological mother's side, I always felt was kind of like the victim, like the boyfriend had left her high and dry and didn't want to be involved in all this stuff. And in the end, it was actually the biological father's side that I still speak to, who are very kind and a very loving family. And the biological mother's side turned out to be not as much. So, you know, you just never know. But they have been some of my greatest teachers, and I am grateful to them for that. At this point in time, I've chosen to take a step back and not continue a relationship with them because of my own mental health. But that's not to say it'll always be that way. I don't know where it will end, but for now, that's just better for me. They're at a different place on their journeys, and we just don't align. But I'm grateful for what they have taught me, and I'm grateful they found me. I'm grateful I got to meet them. I'm grateful my son got to meet them, and he's 30 now. He can make his own decisions as to whether or not he wants relationships with them. And, you know, that's where things stand there.
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary for me, who wasn't adopted, to listen to you talking about this. And it reminds me of a dream that I sometimes have where I find more rooms in the house. And I think, where did these rooms come from? And how come I never knew about them before? It used to be a recurring dream, but they'd be different rooms that I was finding. And, of course, we kind of can get the psychology of that. But it sounds to me like discovering where your DNA comes from, discovering these new people. It's like having new rooms in your house, but it doesn't mean you're going to like them.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean. I went into it with my heart open and my eyes closed, right? Mm-hmm. I went into it as like, oh, new people, new family, especially when I just lost both my parents within 6 months of each other. I was like, this is a gift, right? And they are. That's what I'm saying. They're, just because we don't have a relationship anymore doesn't mean that they were not a gift to me at that point in time. Doesn't mean that I hold any ill feelings towards them. We are just on very different journeys. They've called me evil for being on the spiritual journey that I'm on, and so clearly our lives don't align at the moment, and that's fine. You know, it's all okay. It's all okay, and it's all, I think it was good for her to hear that I never held any ill will against her. My parents raised me to be very grateful to the woman that gave me life and gave me up for adoption, knowing that she could not provide the life that she wanted for me at that time. She was 17. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. I was brought up with a lot of gratitude towards her. However, I will say I probably manifested it all, because people would always say, oh, these aren't your real parents. What would you do if your real parents show up? And I'm like, well, you know, if she showed up, I'll never look for her because I just don't care. And I have great parents. I don't have that hole that a lot of adopted children feel. I just didn't have it. But I said, if she ever showed up, I would be open to having a relationship with her. And who would have thought that she would have showed up?
There it was. Absolutely.
And
amazing.
There it was.
Amazing. The timing and everything. So let's just one more time say, Alejandra, your book is called I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, and it's available on Amazon and everywhere that you can get books, correct?
Absolutely.
And it's on hardcover, it's softcover, it's Kindle, and then you have an oracle deck, What Should I Feng Shui Today, and that's an oracle deck. And all of this can be got via Amazon, and also your website is alejandrabrady.com, correct?
Correct.
And that's just like Alexandra, but it's with a J. So alejandrabrady.com. Couldn't be easier, right?
I tried to make it simple.
That's fantastic. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show and sharing your story and talking about your book and your oracle deck. Thank you very much, Alejandra. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me, Vivian. I'm so grateful.
Okay, you must let me know when you write another one, because we want you back, okay?
I would love to. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, you've been listening to our guest, Alejandra Brady, author and feng shui expert. After the break,
Neil will be giving his report from the Spirit Realm. Please join us there. Thank you.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062. Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back. I'm Neil, describing my shamanic journeys to get guidance from the spirit realm. The purpose of this journey is to travel to the upper world and ask for guidance and advice to help us in 2025. So I'm standing on my mountain ledge, and knowing that I wish to go to the upper world, the energy beam gets lowered to me, almost like a rope. It comes down, and I put my hands around it and grasp it with my feet as well and start climbing up very easily. There's really no sense of effort. I'm just making these effortless motions and going up. And at the same time as I'm climbing, the beam or the rope is taking me up as well. And the sky above me is actually blue with a few white clouds as I go higher and higher. And this is interesting, as usually as I go higher, it becomes darker and darker, but it's still light. And I understand immediately that there's a message already in this that's coming to me. And the message is, sunny days are ahead, which of course is very positive and a nice message to hear. And I get to a place that I've often arrived at before in the upper world. These large, long, wide pink steps, I think they might be made of rose quartz, and I climb up them, looking forward to entering into the upper world. And so my intention
is to ask an ancestral spirit for guidance and advice about how best to live and behave in 2025. And I see the large doors of a church-like building that I've been into before, and I go in, there's a dim interior, and inside are dark wooden pews. And looking, I sit down, and looking to the front, I see there is a white marble, what looks to me like a christening bath or bowl. And I'm actually seeing an infant being christened. And the message here to me that I understand is that 2025 is a rebirth, a new life for me. And this message is being directed to all of us. So yes, we can make 2025 a rebirth for ourselves. And we simply need to be clear about what the new version of ourselves will be like in all these aspects, our behavior, our qualities, our actions, our intentions. We can create ourselves. We can anoint ourselves into a new life in 2025 and be better, more functional in ways that bring us more peace and contentment. We need to be clear on what is it that we think will make us happier and more content and more satisfied and to feel like we are leading meaningful and worthy lives. And rather just waiting for something good to happen, which may well be the case, as the Spirit started off by saying that 2025 is going to be a good year, a sunny year, but rather than just waiting, we must cultivate clarity, is what the spirits say to me. Part of making the goodness manifest is being clear to ourselves about what changes we want to birth into the world. In what way do we want to be more efficient, productive, creative, healthier, have better relationships? Just as some examples. We need to know what those dynamics are and not lose sight of them. We need to have a very strong sense of what we want and of what we want to get and a commitment that we really want to get what we say we want to get. This is a key aspect of what they're telling me. If we want to get, for example, healthy, we must commit to that as that being what we really want. The spirits are saying they're not talking about committing to the actions that will get us what we want. They're saying the actions that will get us what we want will be a consequence of firstly committing to what we want. For example, we want more health, we want to lose weight, we want to have better relationship, we want to have more creativity in our lives, we want to be kind, we want to be organized. Whatever it is, we need to have clarity and commitment to what we want. This is a key part of what they're telling me. The more we are committed to what we want, the easier it is to then commit to the actions and the intentions to act that will get us what we want. And now the spirits are leading me up a very tall tree. It's almost like in the jungle. And I'm at the top of a tree looking out, and it's a green kind of area. I imagine it's what the Amazon might look like seen from above. And the spirits say that we need to be clear about what our place is in this vast Amazon-like expanse of the world. They mean that having a sense of who we are that gives us a grounding, that gives us a foundation, and our lives will expand immeasurably. So an example of this is I could say, for example, I am a grandfather, and I want to do the very best for my grandchildren. And that would be like a grounding, foundational statement about my place in the world that I then don't lose track of. It's a guiding statement that helps us be clear and committed. And we need to have commitment to the end, and then the means will much more easily flow along and occur if we have this commitment to the end. So, for example, when a commitment to a healthy body is ruling, then all the subsidiary aspects, the means whereby, like eating well, those then fall into place so much more easily. And I put out this wish here in the upper world that I have come to see an ancestral spirit that I can ask for guidance and advice about how to live in 2025. And immediately far below me I see a little hut. It's a very simple structure with an ancestor. She's a woman wearing a very simple long dress, and she's got a broom, and she's sweeping out her hut. And again, I understand that this is a message straight away. This is so typical of what happens on a journey. One sees something, and it's an answer to one's question. And the message here is we must clean up our act. And she beckons me to come down to this little area where there are logs around an outdoor fire area. And I say to her that I've come with great respect to request that you please give me guidance and advice about how to live more successfully, more contentedly in 2025. The biggest thing is to not get caught up in the negatives. She says that it's like feeding ourselves. Are we going to eat at the trough of negativity or eat at the trough of positiveness? And she says that just because one can be negative so easily, just because it comes so easy to be negative, doesn't mean we should slide into that. And the more we practice having a positive outlook and noticing the good and being appreciative of the good, the more that's going to strengthen us not being pulled down into negativity. And she brings out a bowl of, it looks like gruel to me, but when I taste it, it's a very, very sweet vanilla custard. And she says, that's what we should do, put sweetness into our lives. That's going to be really helpful. And with that, the drums change, and I say thank you very, very much, and I float back up into the air, back to the pink steps, and go down to my energy beam and descend back to my starting point. And I thank the spirits for this extremely interesting and inspiring journey. So thank you. You're listening to The Chakra Show. We're going to go on our break now, and when we return, Vivian will present her messages from crystals.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chakras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chakras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Chopra Show. This is the part of the show where I, Vivian, talk to and about stones, and our mineral guest today is sunstone. Why sunstone? Because last time we talked to scholarcite, and I mentioned that I combined scholarcite and sunstone for the rather excellent effect of dissipating the wet blanket that accumulates on our energy field due to the dynamic called empathic resonance. Sunstone says we should begin by going over empathic resonance. As human beings, when we are functioning within the normal range of the bell curve, we are designed to empathize with our fellow humans. Empathy means that we can identify and resonate with a fellow human's emotions. In a nutshell, we can feel what another is feeling. When the empathic resonance is one-on-one, it should be mild enough to manage just via recognizing that the emotion belongs to another, or it's an overreaction. But when the collective is feeling an emotion, let's say like disappointment en masse, then an empath is going to get swamped by these feelings of disappointment. This swamp is like a wet blanket on the energy field and prevents the free flow of energy up and down the chakra system. Last time we talked about scholarcite's contribution to dissolving the wet blanket, and this time we're going to talk about sunstone's contribution. As I infuse the sunstone-scholarcite combo into the first layer of the energy field, which is done by rubbing the stones on the physical body, and incidentally, you can do this for yourself at home, I can literally feel the flow of energy beginning to ease from the second chakra toward the feet, and rise from the second chakra toward the head. This is a remarkable sensation, and it is accompanied by a kind of sigh in the energy system, similar to the involuntary sigh we make upon lifting a heavy box. At the same time as the energy system sighs, the client's face falls into a smile. This is lovely to watch, and it gives me a kick every time. When I consult Melody's Lovers in the Earth Encyclopedia, she certainly does report that sunstone has the capacity to refresh and enliven the chakras, as I have witnessed, as well as gently removing the hookups which have infiltrated the energy centers. I have to admit that I get a special feeling of satisfaction when my own observations align with what Melody has to say, because it is very affirming. You know, I think I should add that it isn't because this is affirming for me as a person. It's affirming that I am receiving clear and correct messages from the crystals. These reflections come as I tune into a specific form of sunstone, sunstone that has copper in it, creating an added shimmering effect. I have an excellent lingam of this material which I have been tuning into, and now I want to look specifically at what Melody says about it. Sure enough, here's what Melody says. This mineral has been used to balance the electrical and magnetic energies of the body, assisting in the elimination of energy blockages and elevating the flow of energy and life force throughout the body. In other words, exactly what I had observed myself. I think when it comes to these metaphysical conversations, we should always remember just how easy it is to make up stuff and claim that it's channeled. This is of zero use to me, as
As I develop crystal surgery, I need accurate information and techniques that others can confidently replicate. Empty claims are destructive to credibility and destructive to building a useful body of knowledge. I have noticed that sunstone is one of those stones where the bigger the mass, the stronger the effect. In other words, size does matter. My sunstone lingam is quite big and heavy, but it is really, really comfortable to use, despite the weight. In turn, it really gets the energy moving fast. If you have a smaller stone, like even a tumble stone, you can still use it, but be patient as it will take a while longer. So in other words, it's not the mass that creates the effect, it's the mass that creates the rapidity or the pace. By the way, this capacity of sunstone to get things moving is useful for those who have IBS, that's irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation, because sunstone has a very strong alignment with the physical body. This strong capacity to rapidly affect the physical body gives sunstone the capacity to relax the bowel and get it moving. When I ask sunstone what message it wants to share with you today, it says, please tell everyone that my power comes from being able to link the second and third chakras in a way that gets them to combine and synergize their energies. There are so many dynamics that cause a blockage from the second to third chakras that these chakras never progress to a unified, empowered functioning. Now that's like pretty fascinating for me to hear from Sunstone, because I'm working on getting the chakras to work together. That's my mission as an energy healer, is getting the chakras to have a flow, to not be blocked in the area where they overlap is one of the big, big dynamics that I'm paying attention to. And here Sunstone is explaining to me how important it is in achieving the very goal that I'm aiming to achieve every single session that I'm giving. It's pretty darn awesome. So Sunstone continues, in your world, you say, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Correctly combining the energy of the second and third chakras enables an expanded range of functioning that is so phenomenal, you can't even imagine what it's like. Well, I certainly can't leave Sunstone's message on such a cliffhanger, can I? I have to press for more information. So I ask Sunstone, can you explain more? And Sunstone points out to me the crystal combinations of sunstone that I have been using. Sunstone in sodalite, sunstone in iolite, and sunstone with moonstone. Then Sunstone explains, you see, the solar plexus is the seat of the will and the relationship with self. Think about what happens when your will is strong. Think about what happens when your sense of self is strong. You're unstoppable, right? Add that unstoppable ingredient to any dynamic and you have seriously altered the playing field, right? Well, that's what I'm talking about. So Sunstone's become quite didactic, hasn't it? I am going to get that little Sunstone lingam and keep it in my pocket. I like the idea of becoming unstoppable. So watch me now. And let me say thank you, Sunstone, for this wonderful contribution and for these excellent insights. Everyone, you have been listening to The Chaperone Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Please join us again next month.